My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio, Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
You know, I have a big setup here because I think I know what Sal has been doing today, but I probably should make sure it's okay or just let him say it. And I don't. I don't know that answer. Sal, can you tell us what you've been up to this afternoon?
Well, let's see. I had a radio production meeting this morning for the game, and then I did a Toronto radio spot later in the day, and then I went to play top golf with a whole bunch of media members. The Bills PR was nice enough to set up. You know, they do a golf outing for us every year in Buffalo, and unfortunately we couldn't do it this year. So in lieu of that, they said, hey, when you guys are in Pittsburgh, we're going to do a top golf outing. So it was really cool. Got to go play top golf with a lot of our favorite media colleagues and, you know, Bills staff members. And I'm currently in an Uber driving back to the hotel with a fine woman named Malaysia, who I asked her if I could, you know, do the radio spot in her Uber, and she turned down her music, and I was really thankful. I appreciate that.
The setup was going to be that my son played there when his lacrosse team went to Pittsburgh for a tournament and came out of it deciding he was never going to swing a golf club again in his life. It went so poorly for him at Top Golf. He's like, you know what, Dad, this is not my sport, I'm pretty sure. But funny, that's the same place you were
He's
at today.
He's an athlete, though. I bet you if he
digs in
I
a
bet
little,
you that yeah. if he kept playing a little bit, like, he'd be fine, and he would really like it and be competitive and pretty good.
And you can rent lefty clubs at Top Golf?
You don't even rent them. You just ask for them. This is what I did today. I went up there, and I said to the server, I said, hey, can I get some lefty clubs, please? And she said, oh, yeah, for sure. And she brought some. And then later on, Dan Fates came, and Dan from Rochester, he's a lefty hitter. And he said, oh, I might need your lefty clubs. And I said, no. Actually, I'm sorry, it's Alex Brasky Batavia. Dan might even be too. But I said, I think he might have other ones. And he asked, and they brought him some. So, yeah, that's all you got to do.
Good deal. I've never had a Top Golf experience. I've not partaken. I don't know. Owen's done it a couple times when he was in New Mexico, but I've never done it.
Well,
I think that you should actually invest in starting one, Bulldog, in Buffalo. That's what you need to do.
Okay.
Because I think it would be really, really, really popular, to be honest with you.
All right, well, let me sell a couple of guitars, and I'll see if I can get the seed money together to start that up.
People seem to love it.
Right. Well, yeah. I don't know here. Like, we're started with Top Golf, and I want to ask you about Springsteen last night, but maybe we can save that for the end. Because okay. We do have a football game to talk about here.
Quote, football game.
Sure. So how notable is it to you, Sal? We heard about starters playing yesterday. Or no, it was today. We just heard about that. We were wondering about it. And I at one point said, geez, I think Josh Allen has only ever played in one preseason game his time here in Buffalo. And that was the case up until last year. Although I don't know about his rookie year. But like once he got established, he's sort of just played a game, one of the three, and that's it. Last year, though, he played only a little in one and then more in a second. And hearing about a quarter and a half for starters after a quarter last Saturday feels like kind of a lot.
Yeah, it does. And I think that Sean McDermott feels that his team is new enough, and there's a lot of different, you know, guys that have to kind of get on the same page, including a center, including wide receivers, that he wants to see more. I think last week's performance, he wants to see better. He was pretty pleased with yesterday's performance. After, you know, some talking with him a little bit today, you know, getting ready for the game tomorrow. But, you know, he feels that his team, you know, still needs to get some work and come out there and show probably, you know, the kind of energy and competitiveness that maybe was a little bit lacking last week, I guess. But you're right. It's still something when you see it, you're like, man, that's doesn't seem like that's normal protocol here for the Buffalo Bills. So it kind of jars you a little bit on, you know, why that would be. But I think that's kind of what's really behind it.
And what, do you have an opinion on it? I mean, it all makes sense. It would make sense, I think, if they didn't play or if they even played longer. I guess it's a way of asking, is this what you would do?
No, I would put my franchise quarterback on the bench and never see him play in preseason, but it's easy for me to say that sitting here, right? I mean, it's easy for anybody, and I think I get it. I understand the value of it, no doubt. I respect it, but, I mean, I don't need to see Josh Allen playing because I just think the risk – is far greater than the reward, right? Now, Sean McDermott has his reasons for wanting to do that and needing to do that, and I understand that, but from my vantage point, it's like, man, that is really putting your, you know, all it takes is that one, you know, ankle twist, one hit, you know, and but if you, what's the flip side? He goes out there and he throws two touchdown passes, moves him down the field, that's great, but it doesn't count for anything anyway, you know? So right. I think it's risk versus reward.
Yeah, and there is this caveat about the starters, and obviously that would pertain to Allen, maybe most specifically about the weather, Sal. And is that a relatively new concept as it pertains to preseason football, or has that always kind of been there and maybe we just haven't really thought about it that much? That, like, if the field is slick because of precipitation, then that will change our plans with our starters.
I think it's, I don't think it's very new. It's just like going back to what you said. I don't think we've seen the starters enough for it to really matter, right? So in years past, I don't think it's something that they would say this is the plan. But yeah, I mean, he's going to monitor the weather, and if it gets to be a situation where, hey, I'm kind of making it even more risky here for a slick field and something just, you know, to happen that shouldn't happen here, you know, I'm gonna pull him out earlier and maybe not even play him. Who knows, right? Yeah. So he's going to be monitoring that, and it is subject to change based on that. And other factors, one of the things that happened in the game, obviously.
I am with you on not playing them. Like, that's what I also would do. I agree that it's easy to say from here. I'm not surprised, though. With all the new here, you ran it down. And McDermott, you know, he comes for Andy Reid. And Reid is, I mean, Mahomes is playing in a second preseason game this week. So, and he played last week. So that, I mean, it's not at all that, and they don't have the amount of turnover with their, I guess they got some new parts, but still it's not as new as this is. And so it's not, I wouldn't do it, but I'm not surprised they're doing it.
Yeah. It's really weird. I mean, like you still get so many different philosophies on this. The Arizona Cardinals are not going to play Kyler Murray at all. And the Bills open up with them, right? First game of the season. From what I understand, now maybe that changed, but from what I understand from Jonathan Gannon, he had said last week that Kyler Murray's not going to play. So, and Kyler Murray doesn't have the, you know, establishment at his position and standing in the league as Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes. So it is interesting how every coach is still going about this their own way.
Sal Capaccio on the West Hur Hotline in Pittsburgh. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, the Bills and the Steelers tomorrow night at 7. So, I made a list. It really wasn't much of a list, but just a couple of things that...
An effort was made, Sal.
An effort was made. I appreciate that. Very flattering. To come up with some things that I would like to see, a Bills fan would like to see tomorrow night, maybe. And they're pretty simple, basic things. Keon Coleman getting open, and, you know, they hit on a timing pass with Allen in this game, something like that. Ray Davis... Let's see a flash from Ray Davis, who did a little bit. There were a couple of interesting moments in the passing game last week, but as you wrote, writing up the Bears game, not much at all on the ground. Do you have a couple of things like this where, yeah, again, are they meaningful? Bulldog turns it back on me and goes, well, what if those things don't happen? Are you going to sort of feel bad about the situation? Like, no. But can you think of a couple particular things you might like to see that would boost your confidence?
I'd like to see the running game as a whole do a little better than last week. I just think that they didn't run the ball well. Now, they were facing the number one run defense in the league last year in the Chicago Bears. There's no game planning going on, right? So, obviously, you know, those things factor in. But I just thought that they had no space to run. And I know, you know, and I doubt their game planning again, but you'd like to see just hat on a hat, open up a hole or two, see James Cook run through the hole, see Ray Davis run through the hole. I'd like to see a little bit more in that area from them. Yeah, Keon Coleman, because he had a couple of targets go his way, didn't really have a chance there, or at least were incomplete, you know, good coverage by the defense. That would be a nice one, especially after what I saw on, you know, practice yesterday, you know, he had a few reps where, you know, they kind of covered him right off the line of scrimmage, and it was tough on him, but, you know, on one, he made a great move at the line, and he just, you know, blew by the guy right after that. He had no chance. I'm like, no, those are the kinds of things you want to see. It'd be really nice to see something like that. I think on the defensive side, I'd like to see them be a little bit more buttoned up on the perimeter and rollouts and kind of, you know, contain a little bit. It just was an issue last week. It was an issue again yesterday at practice, both Russell Wilson and Justin Fields getting out and having a little bit of room. Again, now game planning, but I need to see, like, how they react to seeing that happen and not allowing those quarterbacks to have those opportunities.
Sal, earlier today we were talking some about Terrell Shavers, and I sort of stumbled into this observation / opinion that, you know, every year there's like the dark horse guy, the new guy, whatever, like a kind of a fan crush. And I don't know that Shavers is exactly elevated to that level, but he's had a very good camp and seems to have the inside track toward one of the roster spots at receiver. And something that I feel like could be more meaningful about that conversation this year and his presence here is that maybe a guy like that that's kind of coming from the back, if you will, so to speak, has more of an opening than there has been in past years. Like, I know the Bills certainly have their pecking order and who they have in mind to be the guys that matter, but I feel like if Shavers makes the 53 and gets an opportunity, maybe there's the door's cracked open a little more than it normally is. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, it's a good observation, and I agree. I mean, there's more opportunity on the back end because they have so many guys they're going to use in so many ways. You know, you don't have your true number one and true number two, right? I mean, it's kind of, yeah, you have – I'm confident in saying they have four that are on the team. They're locked in. And after that, who knows? And I think Tyrell Shavers is right there at number 5/6. I think MVS is right there. And I think whoever makes that 5/6 has an opportunity. Plus, injuries happen throughout the year. And I just think that because of how they've designed this offense, no more Stephon Diggs, no more Gabe Davis. They've kind of made it clear by intention, by design, that they just want to use everybody. They want everybody to have a role here. You never know what's coming at you. They're all very complementary pieces in what they can do. Certain guys have all these different skill sets that they can move around. And I think Shavers or whoever gets that last spot or two would have that opportunity. And speaking of that, I think it's a really good point to go into, like, what those numbers look like, because, mm-hmm. like, I want to go back to your earlier question, Mike. Here's one thing I want to see. I want to see someone separate in the return game. No one's separated yet. Like, no one's won that battle. And there's no real – I don't know who's winning the battle, to be quite honest. But that goes to what you said, Bulldog, about receiver and numbers. And is that Andy Isabella? Because I think Andy Isabella still has a legitimate shot at this. And if he does, what does that do to the receiver numbers? Tyrell Shavers, MVS, mm-hmm. where do you go with that? So – yes, to put this all together, the back end of the receiving core, somebody's going to have an opportunity to play a little bit more and have that return job, because I think that's where you – I think in an ideal world, you want your return man to almost come from that group. But if not, because then you have to decide if you can have that guy and you're going to keep him anyway, then that would be great. But if not, you decide where you're going to go a little bit later on numbers.
Who has been, besides receivers here, you mentioned Isabella, and I know KJ Hamler, Daquan Hardy, the corner, has he gotten some run at kick and or punt return as well?
He has. Remember last week he fielded a punt at his own 4-yard line and kind of bobbled it. Like, was he caught it, but it like kind of hit his shoulder pad there. Mm. And he came off the field, and, you know, Matthew Smiley immediately was telling him, oh, hey, great, but, you know, that's not the spot you want to grab that, right? Like, you want to make sure, hey, let that one go into the end zone. It's a learning curve for him. And, you know, it's windy, and, you know, you're kind of watching the ball and tracking it, and you might lose your spot on the field a little bit, but, you know, he's got to learn that. And then KJ Hamler had the bobbled kickoff return. And then, yeah, who else? Ty Johnson's in this mix as a punt return. They do have – Ty's more of a kick returner, though, not punt returner, but he is in that mix. And then – you know, if they have to, they'll put Khalil Shakir back there. I don't think they want to do that. I think they're very comfortable with him catching the ball. You know, the famous punt catcher here in Buffalo, right? We should have something.
Oh.
He does. Yeah, he can return, but he's going to be such a big part of the offense. I don't think they really want to have to do that.
Sal Capaccio in Pittsburgh. Dawson Knox has a couple injuries maybe, and will he play if you know?
He might play. Yeah, he might play. I think it's going to be determined by the same kind of things. Like, if he plays, they'll manage his reps a little bit. We'll see how it goes, which is a good sign. It means it's nothing major, obviously. But, you know, with the weather and things like that, you want to be a little careful as well.
What's your expectation with, as much as we've talked about, all the different receivers, the possibilities, and Kincaid's importance, the draft capital investment, the upside with him? You know, what's your latest guess as to where that leaves Knox? Because I still think he's going to be on the field a lot. Pointed to this earlier, the 7 games he was active for from when he returned from injury to the end, including the playoffs, all under Joe Brady, he played 40% of the snaps in every one. I think people here are sort of talking about this season like he's not even a part of it. The Kincaid is the tight end, and I've got a slot receiver. I don't know. We had a guest on earlier that was out there yesterday talking about how skinny Kincaid looks. Looks like an ex-receiver compared him to Eric Decker in terms of a body type. I mean, he's not playing with his hand down very often, I think. What do you think of this?
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I think it's a great observation from you about Dawson and what last year looked like a little bit. It was kind of a lost season with the injury and him coming back. I think they had a lot of plans for him last year, and then things just didn't kind of go that way for a lot of different reasons. I really think they believe in him a lot. They want to lean into 12 personnel. He's a big part of that. I know they gave him the contract a lot of fans are, you know, not happy with and think it's a really big contract, and it is, but he is a true number two tight end. That's what he is. He is a really solid number two tight end in the NFL. He could be a number one tight end in the NFL on some teams. And I think the Bills are going to play a lot, 12 personnel. They're going to use him a lot. He can be a red zone target. He can effectively block. That is a very good group for them, by the way, overall. And I've talked a lot about Zach Davidson. I mean, as this is going on, now Zach Davidson has flashed for sure. I go back to OTAs and minicamp, and I think Zach Davidson has looked really good. And he, you know, talk about skinny. He's a taller, skinny guy, and he can, you know, he runs like a little bit like a receiver. But as this has gone on, I will tell you guys the other day, Quentin Morris had a great day yesterday, and I think Quentin Morris just checks more boxes than Zach Davidson. So I would still say that Morris is your number three. And honestly, like, Quentin Morris is your number three tight end is pretty darn good, to be quite honest with you. Like, this is a good group for them. And I think Dawson Knox gets kind of unfairly overshadowed by the fact that they drafted Kincaid. He's got the contract, but I do think he's going to be a heavy part of the team.
Yeah, it feels a little like the Zach Davidson had his week or had his few days where it like sort of peaked, like, oh, this guy, look out, big, intriguing, whatever. And then Quentin Morris is like, nope.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm still here, guys.
And, you know, yeah, if you look at the two, right, you're like, which one's the tight end? You're going to say it's Quentin Morris. You know, Zach Davidson looks like a, like you said, a taller kind of wide receiver kind of guy. And, you know, you know that Quentin Morris can just help them in more areas. And look, I'm not saying that Zach Davidson has no shot to make this team. He does, but I'd be pretty surprised if they kept four, and it'd be great to have him, you know, as a practice squad tight end that you can call on in certain situations or because of injury. But I think right now it is Dalton Kincaid, Dawson Knox, they're going to play a lot, and Quentin Morris, who still can get actually on the field in certain situations.
Everybody knows the one bad thing that can happen in the preseason is an injury. You've had the Milano injury already this week at practice, and they're very short at safety at the moment. Your outlook on how that all might factor into usage tomorrow night.
Yeah, and we're waiting DeMar Hamlin too now. Today he had left practice a little bit, didn't like take a lot of reps, so we're waiting on that and what that situation might be. You know, he stayed after practice signing some stuff, so, you know, but I know that, you know, he didn't finish the practice necessarily with teams, so, you know, we'll see on that. I think it's a tricky situation, guys. I mean, they really need to get healthy at safety, and they're not, and what do? You put the guys out there who are healthy? I mean, at this point, even if the starters, you know, the starters are playing a quarter and a half, let's say Weather Shine starters are playing a quarter and a half, I honestly don't know if you can put Taylor Rapp out there. Taylor Rapp is, like, what if he gets banged up? I mean, what do they have?
Right.
I think you got to be really careful here, and you got to thread this needle somehow. I mean, we may be just seeing a lot of Dee Delaney and Kendall Williamson tomorrow, you know, starting from the jump. I mean, you know, Cam Lewis back there at safety, which he was playing yesterday during the practice. Cam is such a versatile guy, but they're going to have to lean on him maybe to, you know, get some safety reps here throughout. They got to get Edwards and Bishop healthy at some point. It's just a big, big key for them. They're missing so many reps, and they're new to the defense. And I know Edwards, and I've said it many times, is kind of familiar with the scheme, but it is a different scheme. And they just got to, at some point, get these guys healthy because they are really thin right there.
All right, have we covered it all? Have I waited long enough to ask you about your first Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band experience, Sal? I was so envious when you sent the picture out on social media, and you even texted it to me. I saw it before you sent it to me, but I appreciated that you did that. And you know what? Before you even answer, I got to tell you, I've passed up opportunities to get seats behind the stage like you sat in, and seeing the view you had has made me regret it. Because I think I would like, especially a legendary band like that, with so many moving parts, the horn sections and the backup singers and the key, all of it, it's such a big setup. I think it would be really cool to watch the show from back there.
Me too.
Yeah, actually, you know, and it was like the cheapest seats we could find, and they were still really good seats. And we were right behind the stage, but we were in the third deck, but you could see everything really well. There was no blocking of the stage. It was great. And just to clarify, I did see him once before. It was about 25 years ago.
I'm sorry.
1999, 2000 in Tampa.
Okay.
And what I remember was, Bulldog, he went 3 straight hours without stopping. You know what he did last night? 3 straight hours without stopping. He is going to be 75 years old next month.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. He was incredible. And he just knows how to work the crowd. You guys know that. You know what's really cool is, at one point, Whip, me and Bill Whippert were there together, and Whip said, "Sal, I just counted. There's 18 people on stage. The E Street Band is huge.
Yeah,
there's eight. There were 18 people on stage with all the horns and the piano and the two drummers. It was incredible. Now, I will tell you, a lot of the songs I was kind of unfamiliar with because they might have been newer songs, and you know, I haven't really listened to Bruce Springsteen like that in quite a while. But he did the encore, and it was Born in the USA, and it was Dancing in the Dark. It was really cool, man.
Yeah. So is it now Mariners Pirates?
Right. Right. You go from Springsteen
to
Skeens.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening. In fact, I'm watching people walk over to the stadium right now. Literally, I'm sitting in a red light in the Super Guys, and the stadium is directly to my left. It's a really beautiful stadium downtown.
Yeah.
Skeens pitching tonight. A bunch of us are going over there. A lot of the media is going over there. Some of the Bills staff is going over there. We're gonna check that out. Real quickly, though, last night, I got to tell you what happened last night was after the Springsteen concert, I told you guys that, you know, Woj and Schefter and those guys were at practice, right? I told
you that. Right, and they were going to the concert, yeah.
Yeah, so Woj told me that Mike McDonald was coming, you know, from Damon, and Mike and I are really good friends. So I texted Mike and said, "Are you here?" Yeah, and we couldn't really meet up at the concert. And he said, "Hey, we're going back to our hotel after. Let's meet up." So I went back to that hotel, and I go in there, and there's Mike McDonald. I'm talking with Mike, and just casually, he's like, "Oh, let me introduce you to a couple of my friends." And he's sitting there, and I'm sitting at this table and talking, and Dusty May, the head coach at Michigan, and Will Hardy, the head coach of the Utah Jazz, Jeff Passan of ESPN, and I'm like, what world am I in right now? It's unbelievable. Right? I mean, it was a fantastic night. It was unbelievable.
Everybody's in Pittsburgh.
So great that you ran into Mike. I haven't seen Mike McDonald in years, but I always admired him a lot. So nice that you ran into him.
And just so you know, I don't know if you know this, his son Matt was just named the GM of the NBA G League team for the Nets, the Long Island Nets. I mean, really great family there. So, yeah, it was awesome. It was great seeing Mike, and he kind of bolted, and he kind of, which was fine. He's like, "Hey, I got to go." But I hung out with Dusty May, head coach of Michigan, most of the night, and he was just one fantastic dude. It was awesome.
Living your best life. Very good. Enjoy the ball game, and we'll talk to you on Monday.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
That's our Sal Capaccio from Pittsburgh on the Wester Hotline. His appearances are brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
There's a great beer bar right across the street from the home plate entrance to PNC Park.
Of course there is. Why wouldn't there be?
Yeah. That's the one place I know in that area would be. You walk over the Clemente Bridge and they're just to the right. You know, good place to get a beer.
What a weekend this guy's having. I mean, you know, hanging out on the field watching football practice. He does that all the time. Springsteen, Top Golf today, Skeens, and to me, the best ballpark in the country. Wow.
And the great rivalry of the Mariners and the Pirates.
That's right.
First ever meeting.
Doesn't get any better than that.
First ever meeting.
They've never played.
The Mariners are at the Pirates. This is where you sound old, because like this is normal now. The Blue Jays are at Wrigley this afternoon. That's they just lost. That's a shock. 803-0550 for your calls. What's one thing you want to see tomorrow night? Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Every time it looks like a solution is on the horizon, whether that be a long-term extension in San Francisco or a trade to Cleveland, New England, or Pittsburgh, it doesn't materialize. And the situation just continues to drag on there in San Francisco. It's the type of thing that could be resolved very quickly, like later today, or it could drag on to the start of the season. And even the 49ers are having a hard time figuring out exactly when, if, and how this is going to come to an end.
I'll make a prediction. Adam Schefter on Brandon Ayuk next week. He signs next week. He's probably ready to sign.
That's probably right. I wonder how like the story has shifted from there's a deal in place to go to Pittsburgh to they're really not that far apart. And like, I wonder what that means exactly. Like, how far apart are we, right? It's probably on the guaranteed money more than anything else. That's the thing that matters the most in these sorts of things, as opposed to, like, the big boxcar numbers on the contract, you know, averaged out over 4 years or whatever. But, like, I wonder how much is it worth fighting the fight? is it $500,000? Is it $5 million? Like, how substantial is the gap that is keeping him from getting in there now? Or I don't know, maybe he's perfectly comfortable just taking whatever he gets and just doesn't want to practice now too. Like that's
what I was coming from.
This goes there. This long, like, you could get to that, you know, like, yeah, okay, I'll worst case scenario, I sign that, but I'll just wait a little while.
Take a few more days.
Right, just take a few more days. I'm fine. Everything's gonna be fine.
It's just, you know, I'm gullible, so I've got video of Aiyuk on the practice field high-fiving the coach and the GM. I listened to Lynch, the GM, talk about the situation yesterday, and it did not sound the least bit panicked. Just, you know, these things take time, that kind of thing. I just think for as much time that has gone by, if San Francisco felt there was no way to get a deal done with him, you know, kind of like, it's not the same situation at all, but the Bills and Diggs, they got to a point where they're like, we have to do this. It's going to hurt, but we have to do this. And not everybody sort of makes sense of it. You're a team, the Super Bowl window stuff, all that. San Francisco is at least as much in a Super Bowl window as the Bills are. They've literally been to the Super Bowl twice here, and nobody thinks they should trade Aiyuk for the short term, but they haven't. And I just think if they felt that they could not sign him, you wouldn't want the distraction. You would just have to be, if they felt they couldn't do it, they would just probably have to be like, this is going to be hard. Nobody's going to get it, you know, to a point. There's other big contracts on the team. That's why it would happen. And it's just not going to work. So you come to that realization at the draft. Or even if it has to take into August, then it does. But you would have known that a long time ago.
Yeah.
You thought you couldn't sign him.
And it does, I don't have to be right about this, but doesn't it feel like the time to capitalize, the time to make the deal and help your team now was, of course, back in, you know, mid-March, late March, April, whatever, the draft. And once that passed, I feel like, I don't know, whatever the return was going to be, I feel like it gets it decreases. Like, how well the 49ers could expect to do in the trade decreases, because if you're the team on the other side, like, of course you still value the player you're trying to acquire, but as they're running out of runway, as they're getting closer to their season, if they're still talking to you about wanting to move the player, don't you sort of feel like, all right, you maybe didn't have a gun to your head in June, but you seem like you do now. So I don't know. A first becomes a second becomes a third, and I don't know. George Pickens becomes Calvin Austin or something. You know what I mean? Like, you just, I'm not. I don't feel I need to meet your demands because you are stuck now. You're still talking to me, so you're stuck. And now you want to do the best you can. And again, the time to do that was probably in the spring. So I think that increases the likelihood of nothing happening too, because I would guess that the return has decreased as the months have gone by here, but I don't know that.
How have you been drafting him?
Well, let's see. It's so hard to keep them all straight. Let me think. Let's see. Paul's draft, it was just announced, is going to be on September 3rd, so I haven't had that one yet.
Oh, the one with us.
I did one with you, and what's the guy's name? Adam Krautwurst.
That guy.
Boy, I adore
him. I'm going to be late.
I just love that man. I don't remember his name ever coming up once during that draft.
I don't either. but it's a blur. It's kind of a blur. We did not draft Brandon Aiyuk.
I was going to say, I have that grid somewhere because you sent it to me. I guess I could try to find him on here and see where he went in that draft.
I'm looking at it right now. Okay. One of the most fun things of drafting all the time is when you stop and look at previous ones, especially like really early ones, and look how wild it is. Or, like in our case, we did this on, I don't know, like 3 weeks ago or something.
Sounds right.
And, you know, there have been injuries. I wonder if we have anybody that has, you know, you basically are just trying to avoid landmines. in training camp. Sometimes you get somebody else gets hurt on the team, and then your 16th round pick, it looks really good. That hasn't happened too many times here, though. We didn't draft the Vikings quarterbacks.
Right. He went with the 9th pick of the 5th round, if I'm reading the grid right. Just a few picks.
6th pick of the 5th round.
Oh, 6th. I'm sorry.
506. Ayuk?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I saw different. I got different numbers in different places, and I'm not sure what they all mean. I didn't know if that was the team. Okay. I got you.
The 9 is the bye week.
Okay. All right. Thank you. You know, same as Samuel, who went. Is that? Did he go earlier or
yes,
later?
It was earlier.
Okay.
What's happened in drafts over the course of the year is usually not by much, but for much of the spring, nobody taking IU or even thinking about whether there'd be a holdout. Nobody taking that really seriously. He was going ahead of Samuel, like second round, both guys second round or early third at the latest. And as the season has gone along and Ayuk isn't playing or being traded, it looked there for a minute like he was going to be traded. He falls and Samuel moves up.
All right.
So Samuel goes in front of Ayuk now. But, you know, people say, like, I'm in all these leagues. And I think most casual fantasy football players don't understand why anybody would draft early. You don't know anything yet. We don't know who the running backs are. We don't know the depth chart. We don't know injuries yet. Why would you draft in May or June as opposed to August?
That's a question I've had. I think I've even asked you this maybe numerous times.
There are situations where if you can predict how things are going to develop, you're not going to be able to predict a camp injury.
Right.
But a holdout situation. Last year, Jonathan Taylor. Everybody was afraid of Jonathan Taylor. Remember all that?
Yeah.
He wasn't going to play. You know, he had ownership involved.
Sitting in the owner's golf cart and then his bus and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. And you can't avoid those guys. And a lot of people will every time. You'll avoid Ayuk because it's just too big of a risk for yourself. But if you take the risk and you buy the dip, so to speak, on guys like this because other people are afraid and that pushes them down, then he signs, you win.
Right.
And you're playing against people that had, you know, been drafting him earlier, or it's just the way the calendar goes, there are ebbs and flows to it, and you're trying to get as many of those sort of situations where you're drafting people at their low point, and then you arrive at the regular season and you've got a better team.
Yeah.
Because you only had to spend a 5th round pick on somebody
right.
instead of a 2nd before we thought there was any bad news.
Now, I realize Paul's draft, Paul's league, will not, you know, there's not a bunch of sharps in there. Pros, you know, people that you know, the circles you run in. But if he signs next week, like you said, doesn't play in the preseason finale, whatever, but he's there and he's fine, he's healthy, he's practicing. He'll go ahead of Deebo Samuel in our draft in September, right? People that are drafting in September, right before the season starts, will take him ahead of.
I don't think he has to, but I think maybe 2/3 of people would.
I would, for sure. I think he'll be their number one receiver, and like that would warrant him going ahead of Deebo, I think.
Time for a break. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. Where are the Red Sox tonight for all this talk of the Mariners-Pirates game?
Processing.
Baltimore.
Processing. Oh, yeah, they already were there last night and lost 5-1. Yeah, okay.
I need to watch the Orioles. I really just never think to turn on baseball anymore.
Last year when I was sick, they were playing the Yankees. And then they're like, I saw like 5 Orioles games in a row or something somehow with national TV and them playing the Yankees, and I kind of fell in love with them. I'd heard about them, all the young guys, and they're like a cool story. And then I watched them, you know, I couldn't go anywhere. So I just I'm watching the Orioles. I'm like, wow, this is a super cool, fun team. I've hardly seen them this year. I don't know. Well, I haven't been sick.
You'll see them in the playoffs if you watch the playoffs.
That's right.
Tonight if you watch the Red Sox.
Yeah.
You might notice the Orioles.
Yes.
They're on the screen. We talked today with Cody Carpentier from Roster Watch. He had some very interesting observations from Bill Steeler's practice yesterday, having been there. Things that we haven't been sort of focused on, just sort of his his takeaways from it. We'll have that for you next here on WGR. Brandon Ayuk.
I'm looking at it. I was going to say, I have that grid somewhere because you sent it to me. I guess I could try to find him on here and see where he went in that draft.
I'm looking at it right now. Okay. One of the most fun things of drafting all the time is when you stop and look at previous ones, especially like really early ones, and look how wild it is. Or like in our case, we did this 3 weeks ago or something.
Sounds right.
And, you know, there have been injuries. I wonder if we have anybody that has, you know, you basically you're just trying to avoid landmines in training camp. Sometimes you get somebody else gets hurt on the team and then your 16th round pick, it looks really good. That hasn't happened too many times here, though. We didn't draft the Vikings quarterbacks.
Right. He went with the 9th pick of the 5th round, if I'm reading the grid right. Just a few picks.
6th pick of the 5th round.
Oh, 6th. I'm sorry.
506. Ayuk?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I got different numbers in different places, and I'm not sure what they all mean. I didn't know if that was the team. Okay. I got you.
The 9 is the bye week.
Okay. All right. Thank you. You know, same as Samuel, who went, did he go earlier or
yes,
later?
It was earlier.
Okay.
What's happened in drafts over the course of the year is usually not by much, but for much of the spring, nobody taking IU or even thinking about whether there'd be a holdout. Nobody taking that really seriously. He was going ahead of Samuel, like second round, both guys second round or early third at the latest. And as the season has gone along and Ayuk isn't playing or being traded, it looked there for a minute like he was going to be traded. He falls and Samuel moves up.
All right.
So Samuel goes in front of Ayuk now. But, you know, people say, like, I'm in all these leagues. And I think most casual fantasy football players don't understand why anybody would draft early. You don't know anything yet. We don't know who the running backs are. We don't know the depth chart. We don't know injuries yet. Why would you draft in May or June as opposed to August?
That's a question I've had. I think I've even asked you this maybe numerous times.
There are situations where if you can predict how things are going to develop, you're not going to be able to predict a camp injury.
Right.
But a holdout situation. Last year, Jonathan Taylor. Everybody was afraid of Jonathan Taylor. Remember all that?
Yeah.
He wasn't going to play. You know, he had ownership involved.
Sitting in the owner's golf cart and then his bus and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. And you can't avoid those guys. And a lot of people will every time. You'll avoid Ayuk because it's just too big of a risk for yourself. But if you take the risk and you buy the dip, so to speak, on guys like this because other people are afraid and that pushes them down, then he signs, you win.
Right.
And you're playing against people that had, you know, been drafting him earlier, or it's just the way the calendar goes, there are ebbs and flows to it, and you're trying to get as many of those sort of situations where you're drafting people at their low point, and then you arrive at the regular season and you've got a better team.
Yeah.
Because you only had to spend a 5th round pick on somebody instead of a 2nd before we thought there was any bad news.
Now, I realize Paul's league will not, you know, there's not a bunch of sharps in there. Pros, you know, people that you're in, you know, the circles you run in. But if he signs next week, like you said, doesn't play in the preseason finale, whatever, but he's there and he's fine, he's healthy, he's practicing, he'll go ahead of Deebo Samuel on our draft in September, right? People that are drafting in September, right before the season starts, will take him ahead of.
I don't think he has to, but I think maybe 2/3 of people would.
I would, for sure. I think he'll be their number one receiver, and like that would warrant him going ahead of Deebo, I think.
Time for a break. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. Where are the Red Sox tonight for all this talk of the Mariners-Pirates game?
Processing Baltimore. Oh yeah, they already were there last night and lost 5-1. Yeah, okay.
I need to watch the Orioles. I really just never think to turn on baseball anymore.
Last year when I was sick, they were playing the Yankees. And then they're like, I saw like 5 Orioles games in a row or something somehow with national TV and them playing the Yankees. And I kind of fell in love with them. I'd heard about them, all the young guys, and they're like a cool story. And then I watched them, you know, I couldn't go anywhere. So I just, I'm watching the Orioles. I'm like, wow, this is a super cool, fun team. I've hardly seen them this year. I don't know. Well, I haven't been sick.
You'll see them in the playoffs if you watch the playoffs.
That's right.
Tonight if you watch the Red Sox.
Yeah.
You might notice the Orioles.
Yes.
They're on the screen. We talked today with Cody Carpentier from Roster Watch. He had some very interesting observations from Bill Steeler's practice yesterday, having been there. Things that we haven't been sort of focused on, just sort of his takeaways from it. We'll have that for you next here on WGR.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.